and from this world. Actually, the second part of this meeting, we could spend calling upon the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus. Do you have an outline here for me? Yeah. Yeah. We want to continue. Unfortunately, our break was a bit late. So we will not have lunch at noon, a bit later. So we are. Yeah. Here, Revelation chapter 2 and 3 this morning. We'll just have a short fellowship about these two chapters because it's not about going in detail of everything, but we want to comprehend the burden of the Lord in this word. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Lord wrote to seven churches. And to all of these seven churches, the Lord said the same thing seven times. He said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He didn't just say it once, but seven times. If you need to say something seven times, what does it mean? If I need to tell my daughter something three times or four times, it means what? It means she doesn't listen. And I need to repeat and again repeat. And the Lord is speaking to his people seven times. And then also he has to say seven times, "He who overcomes." To all the seven churches, he needs to say, "He who overcomes." That shows his people as a whole, that the church is not ready to overcome. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to repeat it seven times, right? If the whole church as a whole would overcome, then why does the Lord have to repeat this word seven times? This is not the case. God wants everybody to overcome among his people. But the reality is that the majority, the big majority of God's people does not want to overcome. And therefore, God has to repeat this word so many times. So how often does the Lord have to tell us, "He who overcomes"? I hope that the Lord gives us an ear to hear what we need to overcome today. And in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we can see that in these seven churches, there is a certain order. It starts with the church in Ephesus. The Lord speaks here what the church needs to overcome. And then in the following churches, it's degrading, it's going down. Why? Because the church did not overcome. The church did not have an ear to hear. And as a result, they were sliding down more and more. So that at the end, they were really destroyed and corrupted. Why? Why is that? Because in the beginning, when God said, "He who overcomes," they didn't listen. They did not obey and did not overcome. So this is really a warning for us. Overcoming is not something optional. If we don't listen, the decay will continue. We will go backwards. Oh Lord. That's why the very first thing that the Lord is exposing here in the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And afterwards, the decay starts and continues. But the beginning of each degradation and decay is always the same. It's the leaving of the first love. If the Lord is not our first love anymore in our hearts, this is the beginning of the fall. Afterwards, so many things will come in and spread in us. What we read then in the later chapters. If you have left the first love, do you think you will be ready to suffer, just like Smyrna? You think you would pay the price without the first love? No, we will be very complacent and seek the comfortable way, the broad way. And then sooner or later, the world will come in, like in Pergamon, the third church. The Lord showed them, you love the world. And it's just like in the Epistle of John. John said, do not love the world. But if you have left the first love, then the world is not far from you anymore. Pergamon, the name actually means wedding, marriage. Marriage. Whom do you marry? Usually it's somebody whom you love. If you love the world, you will marry the world. If we leave the first love for the Lord, the love to this world will enter into your heart. It just, the love to this world does not come in just like that. Something has happened before. You have given the first place in your heart. You have given it to something else. It's not Christ anymore. And then sooner or later, Babylon will come. The religion, which is the church in Thyatira. This is where religion came into the church. And it seduced God's people to do idolatry and fornication. And so much leaven came in. Who opened that door? The problem is, the root of the problem is, the first place in your heart was for somebody else and made open the room for so many other things. If the first place, the first spot in your heart is free, don't think it will stay empty, the seat. So many things will come in. And that's why John, the Epistle of John, ended with a short sentence. Did he end with, the grace be with you, or grace and peace be multiplied to you? Was that the last sentence of John? Or was it like, see you again, hope to see you soon, take care? Is that the last phrase, the last verse? No, it's little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Would you ever end a letter in this way? Would you ever end your email in this way? If you send an email to your colleague, I'm on vacation now, I'm out of office, keep yourself from idols. Would you write such an email? Your out of office notice, for example? Nobody would do it. But why does John do it? Because in his first epistle, he speaks so much of the love to God and to the brethren. Because if you leave this first love, then keep yourselves from the idols. The idols will not wait. If there's an empty room, an empty space in your heart, the idols will take this room immediately. They will not wait. Is that not your experience? It's my experience. And when the idols come in the end, the spiritual death will come. To the church in Sardis, the Lord wrote, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Is it possible that a church can be dead? It's hard to believe, right? It's still the church in Sardis, right? Didn't the Lord write here to the messenger of the church in Sardis, right? Christian, was this the church in Sardis or not? Yes, are you sure? The Lord even named her or called her on this with this name. But the Lord said, hey, but you're dead. It doesn't matter how your name is, even if it's on your doorbell. This is the church in Sardis. But if your condition is dead, then it's useless. It has no value. For God, it's not about the name of the church. It's about her condition. If the church is dead, then the Lord needs to do something and say, he who overcomes, come out of her, my people. And then the church in Philadelphia comes. Do you think in Philadelphia there is nothing to overcome? Philadelphia means brotherly love, right? Philadelphia is the church of brotherly love. But if you leave the first love to the Lord, if you have left the first love to the Lord, do you think you can still love the brothers, the brethren? Where does hate, hatred and evilness against brethren come, if it's in our hearts? Where does it come from? If the Lord is not the first place in your heart, and you have not the first love anymore, then other things will come in. You will not love your brother anymore. John the Apostle, he said that already. If you do not love God whom you see, if you do not love God whom you don't see, how can you love your brother which you do see? This shows when you fall from your first love, you leave the first love, it does not stay there. It will have so many consequences. If you say, oh, I've left your first love, well, okay, that's not so bad. But no, so many things will come in. In the end, you're neither hot nor cold. To the church in Laodicea, the Lord says, you're neither hot nor cold. And because you're lukewarm, I will save you from your lukewarmness. Is that what he says? He says, because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is not very friendly, isn't it? Do you think the Lord will vomit out something? When you have eaten something corrupted, something rotten. Recently, I took a piece of a rotten bread, which was not really good. And what did I say? Did it taste good? No. I tell you, not even 1 second. When I realized it, I vomited out everything. Do you think the Lord will not do that? The Lord will vomit out everything that is lukewarm. The Lord hates the lukewarmness. It says, neither hot nor cold. So we need to ask ourselves, where have we left the first love to the Lord? Because it will not remain without consequence. A whole chain of things will follow. And that's also our experience, right? In the beginning, oftentimes we are burning, and the Lord wakes up our first love. But the time is a test. And shortly after, things will try to come in and take this position. In the beginning, you may be very burning, and oh, praise the Lord, and let us go to the meeting. But then maybe after some time, your girlfriend comes, and suddenly the Lord is on position two, and other things become more important. You take time for many other things, but the things of the Lord have time, can wait. Then you have a family, you're in the job, you are going on holidays, on vacation, and the Lord is sliding down from place two to place three, and then position four. In the end, you didn't just leave the first love, but you also left the last love. And then there's nothing remaining from the fire for the Lord. Just lukewarmness. After a few years ago, when we practiced the priesthood, we were driving to Heilbronn so many times. Sometimes I was driving up there, twice a week for the meeting. It's like 70 kilometers from Stuttgart. And 1 hour driving in the car and with traffic. We were there twice a week, Friday and Sunday. And that was not just for 1 month. No, we spent there, we were driving up there many times. But today, I just think, oh, this is so far. Praise God that we have Zoom. So I can Zoom in. And we can even switch off the camera and mute the microphone so I can have a cup of tea, boil my tea, and I can sit there. And I was in a meeting, right? I took part in the meeting. Have you been in a meeting? Yeah, I was there. If we are burning in your hearts, will you do it that way? I'm not saying that maybe in some cases you have to do it like that. But where is our heart? Where is our heart? Our brother Simon, he will get married soon, right? And Christine is there. Can you imagine if Christine would say, oh, let's meet this afternoon. And Simon would say, oh yeah, let's meet. Here's the Zoom link. Let's meet. Let's use this Zoom link to meet up. And Christine will go online and log in on Zoom. And 10 minutes later, Simon will come. But his screen is black. No camera. His mic is muted. And Christine has a lot of opportunity to talk, right? Christine, what would you say to such a meeting? What's that? She would say, what's happening? What's that? It sounds like a joke, right? But do we do it like this with the Lord? Are we like this with the Lord? The Lord Jesus is our bridegroom. Which bridegroom is more important? The earthly bridegroom or the Lord Jesus? It's about thousands year wedding with Christ, marriage with Christ, and reign with Him. Is it not worth it? If we have the first love, we don't even need to say that. Nobody needs to tell you, oh, you should go to the meeting. No. If you have the first love, I don't think this is necessary. Get ready, prepare for the meeting. You don't need to tell that anybody if the first love is burning in our hearts. If He has the first position in you, then everything else will follow after, will be secondary. Then we will have a way to the goal. Is this not the case? Therefore, the Lord says, repent. To Ephesus says, repent and do the first works. Even among the prophets, they were saying the same thing. These days I was reading Isaiah and Jeremiah. Christian mentioned the prophets as well. The prophets did the same thing, just as the Lord in Revelation 2 and 3. The prophets exposed the condition of God's people. They spoke about their idolatry. They spoke about the judgment. They were led captive to Babylon, that they will be dispersed among the nations. They prophesied so many things. But all these issues had a source, a reason, a starting point. And this is what the prophets also spoke about. Let us look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. The very first chapter, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. God is talking to His people. He's not talking to the heathens, to the unbelievers. He says, alas, sinful nations, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have forsaken the Lord. Is that not the same thing, just like Ephesus? I have against you that you have left your first love. They have left the Lord. The same case in the, with the prophets here. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel's. They have turned away backward. If our first love is not with the Lord, then you will not just continue on the same level. You will go backward. You will not recognize it anymore in the end. It's really surprising. The reason is, of course, because they were rebellious. Verse 23. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes. And so on. But Isaiah says, just like the Lord, he says in verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Isaiah 1:16. So just like the Lord, repent. And the same thing with Jeremiah. It's not only Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, it starts already, but I will read something from chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. What is that evil? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Forsaken. They have forsaken me. And hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Two evils, a double sin they have committed. The nations, they have only committed one sin, right? They only do idolatry, worship the idols, because they don't know God. They don't have God, that's why they do idolatry. This is their sin. But God's people has a double sin, has two evils. Because they should know God. He should be their first love. But still, they have forsaken Him. This is the first sin. And then, they turned away towards other things, to cisterns who do not hold water. And this is the second sin. So when you leave the Lord and the first love, it's a sin before the Lord, against Him. Oh, Lord Jesus. In Ephesus, they also left the tree of life. So their sin is the same thing, leaving the fountain of living water. And then verse 17, and the Lord tried to bring them back and to discipline them. He says in Jeremiah 2:17, have you not brought this on yourself? Have you not brought this on yourself? In that you have forsaken the Lord your God when He led you in the way? It's oftentimes like this. When the Lord shows us the way we should go, and He opens our eyes for the perfection, He shows us the way to go. This is the time where Satan will try to bring us away from the first love, where he wants to make us forsake the Lord. And then what do we do when we have forsaken the Lord? We will go on a journey. We will go somewhere else. Verse 18 says, and now, why take the road to Egypt? You go on a road trip. When you leave the Lord and the first love, it's the same thing, just like in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. You will go to Egypt. You will go to this world, to Pergamon, and you want to drink the waters of Sihor, the waters of the Nile River. There is also water, but there are also crocodiles, right? And many beasts in the rivers that want to eat you up. Or why take the road to Assyria if you don't go to Egypt, and you may go to Babylon to drink the waters of the river Euphrates. Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. The backslidings, this descending, will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. The problem is that you don't realize when you leave the first love. This sensation of life is gone. That's why the Lord says to the overcomers, I will give you to eat from the tree of life. If you have left the first love, you don't realize how evil and bitter it is. You think, well, it's okay what I do. But the Lord says, repent, turn. And the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. That's why it's so crucial that we eat from the tree of life and come back to His life, that He can save us. Amen. Lord Jesus. There would be many things to say, but the time is advanced already. Revelation chapter 3, the Lord has another word to the overcomers, to the church in Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar and a temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. So the church in Philadelphia, if we overcome, He will make us a pillar. In a temple, especially in a temple, you need pillars, right? The Lord doesn't just want to build a church in general, but He wants to have a temple. A temple is for worship, for a priestly service in the temple. But in the temple, you need many pillars. And one of the characteristics of overcomers is that they can carry. They are pillars. They don't leave the building up to other people and just walk away. Unfortunately, this is our attitude many times. Sometimes we come to the meeting and we wait so much for the others. We wait for the others to start speaking. And if nobody is there who speaks, then we're just silent. Do we take responsibility here and say, Lord, I want to overcome now. I want to be a pillar in your temple. Sometimes you need to overcome to be the first one who speaks and open your mouth, or the first one who calls upon the name of the Lord, just like our brother showed us. It doesn't happen automatically, but you need to overcome. Say, Lord, amen. I take this responsibility and I want to be a pillar in your temple. Many times we wait until somebody enters the room that does the job for us. And then when the brother XYZ comes in, we say, oh, praise the Lord, finally he comes and can start a meeting. The pillar comes in. I don't know if the pillar can still walk if there's no pillar in the temple. Oh Lord. Here it says, the pillar shall go out no more. It doesn't say that you will leave immediately and can never come back again to the meeting. But how often do we leave the responsibility? We think, oh, I will leave, kind of. It doesn't mean that I leave the meeting. Maybe I'm still sitting on the chair, but I'm not ready to leave myself, to deny myself, and to carry the testimony together. In the end, I just leave it to the others, and inwardly we walk away. This is a good opportunity to overcome, to say, Lord, amen. Now I take the burden of a pillar, and I pray, I call upon you. Read a verse. Can you read? Johnny, Brother Johnny, can you read? You have learned it many years ago, right? Mark, can you read? Yes, you can also. You also know how to read, right? Brother Elias, you know how to read? Hannah. She's a teacher, right? She helps children to learn how to read. So if we're in a meeting, can we not read one verse for the Lord? A verse from the Bible or from a song? We all know how to read, right? We all have lips. The problem is that it's not that we can't read or that we don't have a mouth. The problem is we don't overcome. We don't overcome ourselves. Ourself wants to stay there on the chair and say, oh, I'm so tired, I'm hungry, I want to go home. It's already 9 p.m. Oh, Lord. And I look on my watch. Do you think a pillar will do such thing? If this is the nature of a pillar, I don't know how long this house will stand. The problem is not that we don't have any Bible. We all have the Bible, even on our phones, right? The problem is, he who overcomes. Then the Lord needs to call in a meeting. Hi there, he who overcomes. Who has an ear to hear? Who is there who overcomes? We talk about overcoming. But let's start in a practical way with us. Next time when there's a meeting, no matter if it's the prayer meeting or in our homes or the Lord's table, be a pillar. Be a pillar. You don't need to give a long message. This is not necessarily a pillar. A pillar is carrying according to its measure, to its responsibility. Not every pillar has to do everything, all the same things. But can you not praise the Lord with your lips? Can you not pray, Lord Jesus, thank you for this meeting and speak to us today? Mark, is this not too required too much? Then why don't you do it? It's because we don't overcome. It's not just you. Me too. I need to overcome. If you want to be a pillar, then you need to overcome. The Lord says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar. And we should not walk away. Otherwise, the Lord cannot write his name upon us. Can you write up on somebody who is always walking away? If I want to prepare the hair of my daughter, she walks away immediately. If I want to put on her shoes, she walks away after one shoe. I cannot put on the second shoe even. Can you accomplish anything when you walk away? The Lord wants to write the New Jerusalem. And then it just says T, T, the, just T, 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 T. Because every time you walk away, in the end it's just written on our homepage, but not on us. This would be a very poor testimony. It has to be written on our foreheads and not on our homepage. That's why some of us have a big forehead. Praise the Lord. So there's a lot of room to write the name of the heavenly Jerusalem. But if I walk away from this responsibility, each time there's an opportunity to pray or to speak the word or to pray a sentence to the Lord, I walk away inwardly. I don't mean outwardly. You're still sitting on your chair, but inside, inwardly, you walk away. You say, bye-bye. Then how much can the Lord write on you? No, we don't want to be churchgoers. We want to be overcomers. We have made so many charts over the temple, the tabernacle, and all these buildings. Is that not full of pillars? Weeks ago, I looked at this sketch, the chart of the tabernacle. So there's so many pillars. I don't know how many. There's this wall around, supported the fine linen And between the fine linen, there are all these pillars. Yesterday, from our sister, we learned this example about the fine linen. And everybody was impressed how you produce the fine linen. But if there are no pillars who hold up this fine linen, then what does it help to have fine linen? If nobody wears it, if there are no pillars, then there's no protection, there's no barrier, there's no wall. And everything can come in that wants to creep in, including cockroaches, right? How many pillars are there on the tabernacle, around the tabernacle? Around the tabernacle. How many pillars? Sultan, you draw the sketch. I think it's 60. 60 pillars. It's small pillars. It's not mighty pillars, right? There are also some big ones inside. But the small pillars are 60 who are there to carry the fine linen. Don't you want to be such a pillar? According to our measurement, it's not so difficult. And there are many next to you. There are many around you. And if we all carry this, what a testimony is that. How beautiful is it when you see this white linen? But can you imagine if this wall, this fine linen, just has one pillar or two, and all the rest is just, the fine linen is lying on the ground. They're just two pillars standing. This is really not, would not be nice. Therefore, let's really learn, also in the small situations, to tell the Lord, Lord, I know I'm not a pillar, but I want to overcome. He who overcomes. You can even tell the Lord, Lord, please make me a pillar. Because the Lord even says, I will make you a pillar, but you need to overcome. You need to overcome your laziness. If you had a long day of work and then you come to the meeting in the evening, you need this time of warm up. But how about if you start the time of warming up half an hour before the meeting, then you're already hot when you come to the meeting. Then your engine is running. It doesn't mean that you take over everything, you take over the meeting. No. But everyone has his portion and carries the testimony. Do you want to be overcomers? Here is a practical opportunity to be an overcomer. And not only we carry the testimony, but we carry also each other. Right? I just need 5 minutes, then I'm done. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Is that not wonderful? This also is a job of the pillars. If a brother or sister is overtaken by a trespass because of weakness, it's not because of evilness, of malice, it's out of weakness, then how quickly are we to criticize and to send them away? A pillar is capable to bear it, to bear one another's burdens. It doesn't mean we accept some things to come into the church, right? But if there are saints who, out of weakness, fall into a trespass, then a pillar can bear them and will not criticize them roughly. Like this verse in Timothy said, an old brother, don't box him. In the original, do not rebuke an older man. Actually, the original word rebuking here is like boxing. You hit him with your fist. Don't let us do that to each other, especially not to the older saints. Don't box them, don't hit them with your fist, but with humility exhort them as a father. Exhort him as a father. Ephesians 4 also speaks about bearing one another. And we like to speak about the oneness, right? We hear a lot about the oneness here, oneness there. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 shows the foundation of this unity, of this oneness. Ephesians 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, hitting one another in love? No. It's bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. And then, the next verse follows the unity of the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. If you cannot bear an older brother, you just criticize. We do so many things that are not good, not just criticize, but we still speak of the oneness. But you cannot say hi, you cannot say good morning to your neighbor, or even not even praise the Lord. Just recently you were preaching, let's keep the oneness of the Spirit, and 5 minutes later you meet an older brother in front of your door, and you cannot even look at his face. Is that the oneness of the Spirit? No wonder such a temple will fall, will collapse, if you have such type of pillars. In the end, you can only send them an invoice. Here, pay your debt. Is that the oneness of the Spirit? Bearing with one another in love is differently. Oh, Lord Jesus. And the last verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read this all together. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It's also about the pillars. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. The pillar and ground of the truth. The church is there to bear and support the truth, to hold up the truth. The truth, as an overcomer, we love the truth. The truth is more important than whatever people say, the opinion of man. Our desire is to do the Word of God, and we will not make any compromise with the truth. This is a sign of the pillar. People talk about rebellion. You are rebellious. You are just like Absalom, who rebelled. If I'm saying that you are like Absalom, who was rebellious, then it seems like I would love to be David, right? That I like to be David. Rebellion in the Bible is always against God. It's against the truth. This is rebellion. If the Word of God, the truth, says something very clearly and we are against it, then this is a rebellion. But if we are faithful to the truth, to what the Word of God says, then we will be pillars who are holding up the truth. The pillar and ground, the foundation of the truth. How wonderful is that? Let us be people who treasure and love the truth and who carry the truth just like a pillar. And just in the church in Philadelphia, the Lord spoke about this wonderful temple. It's for sure no coincidence that the church in Philadelphia was described like a temple. Why? Because the church in Philadelphia has this characteristics that it performs the priestly service. For what else do you need a temple? What do you do in the temple? You play table tennis or soccer, football? Didn't the Lord say when he met all these salesmen in the temple? And then he says, go away. Don't make the house of my father a den of thieves or a department store. The temple is not for merchandise, it's for worship. And that shows the Lord, especially in Philadelphia, he's calling the overcomers to become pillars, to carry the truth faithfully and to perform the priestly service faithfully until the end. That's why the word faithful is very important for the overcomers. We don't want to be faithful against man, but against God and His word and the truth. Praise the Lord for the overcomers in Revelation chapter 2 and 3.